Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
Thank you, Apostle Nash, for the opportunity to share. God is free to do his work in this place. I have had only the privilege of a few hours of being in this sanctuary, and yet God has spoken to me. God has shared his heart with me. This is a place where God is free to do his work. That's no small thing. May I be free to share what God has put on my heart rather than what I put on my paper? Jesus is our King. Jesus is our High Priest. Jesus is our Advocate. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is our Advocate, but Jesus, Hebrews 1 tells us, is when he completed purifying our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Father, right? The right hand, that right side is the place of advocacy. Jesus is advocating for you and me. Another place in Hebrews, it tells us, Jesus always lives to intercede for us. I mean, if we could just grasp the awesomeness of, in my worship time, I've pictured Jesus leaning over to the ear of the Father and speaking my name. Man, that just... He always lives to intercede for us. He's not ever going to die. He's not ever going to quit. He's not ever going to give up. He's doing the work. And he's asked us to join him in intercession. He has chosen in his sovereignty to use our prayers. I'm not sure I can explain that. I know it's true. He's chosen. Okay? So he's asked us to be intercessors. Okay? So Jesus is our King. He's our High Priest. He's our Advocate. Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. I'd like to take us just a moment and kind of show the intensity of that. And there's a personal experience I have that kind of, for me, helps me to get the fullness of that. My wife and I were missionaries in the Philippine Islands, and I have a brother who's 10 and a half years younger than me, so we were in the Philippines while my brother was in high school. My brother was a high school football player. Most of his high school career, I lived outside of the country, and I was able, we lived in Chicago, he lived in Tennessee. I was able during his whole high school career to see one football game. I was enabled to wear his cap that had his jersey number on his cap. I was able to, it was their homecoming game. He was crowned the king of the homecoming. During the second half, he was a defensive lineman. During the second half, he intercepted a pass way deep in his own territory and ran it back all the way for a touchdown. What do you think I was doing? Sitting down? No. I won't do it. I was standing on my chair, waving the cap that had his number on it. Okay? He's my brother. I couldn't have been prouder. I couldn't have been happier. Let's look at Acts chapter 7. I want you to see Jesus, in light of that, think about this. the end of Acts chapter 7, it says, when they heard this, this is the stoning of Stephen. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. That's something that happens in this place. Okay? Look what Stephen saw. He looked up to heaven, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now we know Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? But Jesus, sorry, Paul, Stephen is in the midst of being stoned and we see Jesus, he's standing at the right hand. You know what? He's looking on. He is not a disinterested party. He cares what's going on with you and me. And he wants to draw us into what he is doing. He has said, therefore there is now, no condemnation. The truth of the word of God. One of the things that he's doing in my heart, in my ministry, he's showing me, think about the throne room of God. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, past tense, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where we're supposed to live. That's where our hearts and minds. Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Okay? So God is saying, he's calling us to be intercessors. He's calling us to be like Jesus, involved in what's going on in the lives of the people around us, in the church around us, in the government around us, in all things. Some of you might be a little bit like me. Sometimes I'm just plain lazy. But the Father is asking us, get involved in these things. And he uses our prayers. He asks us to intercede. He asks us to stand in the gap for our nation, for our region, for our city, for the people around us. Okay? Art has expressed, my wife and I are leaders of Memphis House of Prayer and Justice. A little bit of background on my wife and I. We spent 10 years in the Philippine Islands. We lived in the jungle, learned a tribal language, and brought the gospel to those people. Long story, very interesting, great blessing of God on that time. He brought us home. We were home for a few years. He took us to Russia. We spent 5 years in Russia doing leadership and pastoring a church there and my wife teaching in the missionary children's school. He brought us home. He took us then to India. We spent 7 years in India. In 2010, we came home. We were just going to be here in our thinking just a couple of 6 months and go back to India. He made it clear that it was our time to be done in India, and he decided to bring us to Memphis. In as Moses and many of us, anybody ever argued with God when he said, go there? I'm like, I don't want to go to Memphis. Now, I have family members in Memphis, so that was one of the draws, okay? But we were living in Kentucky. We came to Memphis. Every time going back from Memphis, I'm like, no, I don't want to go to Memphis. No, I don't want to go to Memphis. And one of the things I said is, God, why would you bring me to Memphis? There is so much good ministry already happening in this place. What could I do? Does that sound like some words that some excuse makers have used? The point is not what I can do. The point is what God wants me to do, what God wants to do through me, the spoke of the wheel that God wants me to be. Yes, there's great ministry going on here. Places like this where God's presence is. and he's drawing us together. And he's given me the opportunity to make connections with lots of different parts of the body of Christ in the Mid-South. And that's a great privilege. And I keep hearing rumblings that God is getting ready to do some great things. God is getting ready to do some awesome work in the Mid-South. And it may not look exactly like we expect it to look. God's getting ready to do that stuff. And I believe some of it is revival and awakening. Revival and awakening, there are some predictable things that happen. If you look historically at revival and awakening, it always is preceded by incredible, intense prayer. It's always includes repentance. Now, one of the things God has shown me is one of the reasons he's brought me here is because I'm a Yankee. Thank you. Okay, and you know what? My personality is I usually hide that. Okay, why? Because I don't want people to think of me as somebody from far away or whatever, you know. But you know what? One of the things the Lord has told me, he's gonna work in each of our lives about the prejudices that we have. We're going to have to give up black versus white, white versus black, Latino, North versus South, all that stuff. You know what? There isn't a one of us in here who hasn't had wretched thoughts in our hearts, me included, maybe me first, okay? He's going to do a work of repentance in each of our hearts. I'm sorry, I don't really like that work. If I'm honest, because he starts digging around in my chest and he says, there's some garbage there. You got to deal with this. And for me, I know none of you all are like me, but for me, it usually takes repeated diggings to dig it all out, okay? Maybe lifelong. But as we prepare, God is preparing to do a mighty work in this place. He's preparing to do a mighty work in the Mid-South. And he's going to take our prejudices and he's going to dig them out of us. You know, denominationalism and all these religious things that we hold on to. You know, the lines that we draw, he's going to take all these things away. And so as we seek him, as we trust that he really is going to do the things that he's promising us to do, my wife and I sensed that when we first came to Memphis, the first thing we were supposed to do was to spend 40 days prayer walking on the streets of Memphis. So we came, we were staying in Collierville with my sister who lives there and her husband. They've lived there for a long time and we're driving, we felt very strongly moved to go prayer walk downtown. So we're driving to and from downtown. Our daughter lived at Fielder Square, which is right by the ballpark. And about the third day that we were there, we went to see our daughter and she said, my neighbor came and gave me the key to her apartment and said, if anybody needs to stay there, just let them stay. I'm going to be gone. And I'm like, you know, I was worried about, we didn't really have a place of our own at that time. We didn't, you know, and God's saying, here, I'm going to provide for you. And I'm going to place you exactly where I want you to be. And so we go out and walk those streets. And I have to say, my wife and I fell in love with Memphis. It's a great city. It's historical. We would walk and pray. We'd see these historical signs. And it would spur us to think about the history of this city. And there are some historical things in this city that are not just significant to the Mid-South, but to all of this country. This is a pivotal city. This is a pivotal area. And I think that's why God's going to do some awesome things in the Mid-South. Not only that, repeatedly, things have happened that affect the world. Music. I think God is getting ready to do some things with worship, with new worship styles, with new worship music. God is getting ready to do some awesome stuff. So every year, my wife and I have spent 40 days. This year, we changed it to 6 weeks so that we can include start and end on a Saturday, some of those issues. But it's an awesome time. It's a blessed time. It's a time of challenge. It's a time of, you know, you can't spend that much time in prayer and God doesn't start digging out the garbage. And so as we prepare for this, what's my goal? What's God calling me to do? And what's he calling me to challenge others to do? Well, there's a call on me, but there's a call also. Let me give you the challenge that I have for you guys. Come join us for a couple of hours. Come join us as we walk and pray. Now, my plan, I had it very specific in my mind exactly how I was going to do this. You ever had that? And it has not happened. I was going to have a calendar. We're doing here. We're starting at this time. We're starting at that. We're all scheduled out. All 6 weeks. Every day. That was my plan. And I have tried hard. I've started multiple calendars. I've done, and I just have not been able to do this. This week I did a new one because I knew I was going to be here and I wanted to be able to show you this, what we're doing. Where is it? It's not here. I do know we're starting this Saturday, March 22nd. We're going March 22nd to May 3rd. We're starting March 22nd. We're going to join the Garden, the information is on Facebook, Memphis House of Prayer and Justice. Just Google, just look for Memphis House of Prayer and Justice. It'll be information there. Next, that's Memphis Prayer Garden is Saturday morning at 1:00. I haven't even had a chance to talk to Art about this. 1:00. We're starting at the 0 mile marker in Memphis. Anybody know where that is? All right. Some of you prayed there already. Some of you have already. And see, there's a lot of interaction. Art has started Mid-South Watchmen, and that's been a great blessing. And there's some of what's on my heart is because of what Art has put into me. The Lord has put into me through Art. So at 1:00 this Saturday, we're going to start there. We're going to pray. It's a representative point for, it's the zero point for all of this area. Many of the numbers, even here in Mississippi, some of the numbers are measured from that point. Okay, so it's really for the Mid-South. And we are going to intercede. We're going to ask God. We're going to do the things that God asked us to do. We're going to intercede. We're going to ask him to show us what to pray. So for me, my goal is to spend 8 hours a day, 6 days a week, and 4 days, 4 hours on Sunday in intercession. That is physically taxing. That is emotionally taxing. That is spiritually incredibly taxing. I want to ask you from wherever you are to intercede for us about that. My wife's with me most of the time. Not always. We also are going to be using Twitter at Don Lee 111. At Don Lee 111. I'm going to be sending out at least once a day a Twitter update where we are, what we're praying for. Come join, you know, sign up, follow us. We'll be sending that out. And wherever you are, when you get that or when you see it, just intercede. Just join your voice to ours. God, what are we doing? We're filling up the bowls of incense in heaven. From wherever you may be at work, you may be, you're probably going to be somewhere here in the Mid-South, and God is putting this on us that he wants to open up the gates of heaven and pour his blessings down upon us. And so from wherever we are, he's asking us to intercede. Lord willing, we also are going to, the Lord has pressed on me that we need to, and again, this is from much of what we've talked about with the Mid-South intercessors, going to the places where the major highways come and leave from this place. I-40, I-55, 64, 78, 72. Go to those places and set up gates. Okay? Gates that encourage those who have come, who are coming to do God's work. Okay? There is a history of people being coming to the Mid-South to give their lives in service for the Lord. Way back in the time of the yellow fever epidemics, people were leaving this area by the droves, and a few were coming in to help, coming in to sacrifice their lives if they needed to follow the Lord, to do God's bidding. We're going to set up gates that encourage those people that God is sending to come to be here and be a part of what God is doing. We're going to close the gates to the enemy's people. Okay? And we're going to set up some one-way gates. All right? There is some stuff in the Mid-South that we don't need here. And we're going to send them out those one gates. Those are exit only. You're leaving this place. You are leaving what's going on here. You are leaving this. You're going to go where Jesus sends you to go. And you are not coming back. Okay? We believe God is preparing to do a mighty work in this place. We believe that he's trying to show us who we are in Christ. If we could just understand. If we could stand ourselves in the throne room of God and understand who we are in Christ. Let me take just a few more moments to talk about that. Who are you in Christ? As I have spent time with the Lord, he keeps talking to me about the truth of the throne room. When you stand in the throne room of God, who are you? What determines your image there? What determines who you are? See, Colossians 3, 1-3, again, he's talking to us about the throne room. Okay, if I stand in the throne room, I have been cleansed. I am redeemed. I am, what does Ephesians say? Holy in his sight. I'm sorry, I struggle to get that. Why? Because, I didn't think I was struggling with the condemnation that you talked about earlier, but it's hard for me not to, I did this and I did that. We're clean. We're clean before the Father. So, think about this. The truth is in the throne room of God. Who you are in the throne room of God is who you really are. So what my friend thinks of me doesn't matter. My self-image is not determined by what he thinks of me. My self-image is not determined by what I think he thinks of me. Those are not always the same thing. My self-image is not determined by what I think of me. Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Why? Because I don't want to forgive myself. I don't want to forgive my neighbor. I want to, what? All this earthly stuff, I just can't unload and just put myself in the throne room. You know, if me and my brother are arguing and fighting, you know, we want to, you know, we're having this little, you know, sometimes we do it politely. And I imagine us taking this discussion to the throne room. What's Jesus? I know immediately what Jesus' response is. Boys, come on. It's not about that. I love you both equally. Put your mind in the throne room. Come on, get over that stuff. We got important stuff to deal with. Give that up. He loves us equally. And therefore, if I don't have to win out in this little argument, this little, you know, I won't say the thing, the thought that came to my head, that isn't quite, but, you know, when we as men are especially good at this, you know, these little, oh, I did this and I did that and I'm this determines who. No, this does not, our actions do not determine who we are. We are in the throne room before God, and my image, my self-image, my image is determined by what he says is true of me. Therefore, I do not need vindication. Because what is vindication? I need to be proved to men that I'm right and you're wrong. What is that? That's all about this. I'm creating my self-image. My self-image doesn't determine by what I drive, where I live. None of those earthly things determine who I am. So God is saying to us, come into my throne room. Learn the truth. Believe the truth. Stand on the truth. Who are you in Christ? What are you going to do on this earth that I have left you to be a part of as you understand who you are? The declarations that we make. Loosing and binding. That's what the gates are about. We loose the things of heaven. We bind the things of earth and hell. That's what we're doing. So, I've given you my information, I hope. Twitter, at DonLee111. Facebook, what is it, Memphis House of Prayer and Justice. Please join us. Pray with us. Keep in contact with Art. Art's doing a great thing. Art, God has allowed me to have a close relationship with Art. Not as close as I'd like it to be, but we're all busy. Art's the kind of an intercession leader who is very humble but knows his place, and he is doing amazing stuff in the heavenly realms. Here's a challenge for you. Go through the book of Ephesians. Look where it says in the heavenlies. And connect the dots of all the things that it says in Ephesians in the heavenlies. Chapter 1. He's talking about us in the heavenlies. What's our position in the heavenlies? Chapter 6, he talks about in the heavenlies, the spiritual warfare that's going on. If we draw that line through what Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians in the heavenlies. You see, intercession is about what God is doing in the heavenlies. He's using the heavenlies to change what happens here on earth. We're about bringing his kingdom to earth. That's the job he's given us. It's a very important job. And there isn't a one person of us here that isn't important in what God's done, what God is doing. So, that's my challenge. Thank you for the opportunity to share. Bless you. I'm so thrilled with what you all are doing in this place and allowing him the freedom to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Praise the Lord.